I'm going to read the scripture for today, and this is from 1 Peter. And listen to these words and see if you think it has any relevance at all to the situation Wendy just endured. And Greg will fill us in and let you know whether you're right or not. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that is the word of God.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are you? Beautiful summer day. Thank you so much for the balloons and the sign. You guys have broken our hearts with your support for us. We love you all. It feels like we have been gone for a lifetime. We've watched online as the Lord has added new faces to the church in our absence. Praise the Lord, he is at work. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Greg. My lovely wife, Wendy. We have been absent from the church for the past several months. Wendy was hospitalized with a life-threatening illness. By the grace of God, he has brought her back to us and is healing her day by day. My words will never be able to express how grateful we are for this body of believers. You're our family. You've touched our hearts with your support, with your prayers, with your encouragement, your letters, your notes, text messages. We've been gone for 7 months, and we've never felt like we were ever alone because of your support, and we are grateful. Thank you all so much. Up until now, I have been unable to share much of our experience with anyone. I have spent these last months stomping down my emotions and holding on to the Lord that I might be able to care for and comfort Wendy while she fought for her life. I'm grateful that she remembers very little of what she's been through. I rejoice in the Lord as he heals her every day and is restoring our life back to us. There are many of you who are going through intense trials right now. We have watched as week after week prayer requests have come out. The words of an old song by the Little River Band came to mind this morning. The title of the song, Hang On, Help Is On Its Way. God is faithful to sustain us and deliver us as we trust in him through our trials. Each day we walk by faith and commit our plans to him. It is our faith that makes us different from the world and its beliefs. The Lord brings trials into our lives to test us and prove the genuineness of our faith. The testing of our faith can come upon us suddenly. When that intense trial comes upon us, that tragedy that you always hear happens to someone else. Suddenly our plans are overwhelmed. Our life changes in an instant. We can even wonder in times, what in the world are we going to do now? How we respond to these trials will reveal the condition of our faith. The reality of just how helpless we are and how great and faithful our God is comes to bear on us as we are tested and refined in the fiery trials of this life. When we come through the fire trusting God and holding on to Him, our faith is proven to be genuine. This morning, I would like to share some of our experience as we look to God's word regarding the testing of our faith. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is defined as the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the same walk of faith those Old Testament saints walked, as recorded in Hebrews 11. The patriarchs of Israel died in faith, never having received God's promises. But having seen them afar off, they hoped for a heavenly home. They were our examples that we might also persevere and endure by faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 reminds us, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. The Apostle Peter tells us that our hope of eternal salvation is guarded by the power of God through faith. He goes on to speak of the purpose of the testing of our faith. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in this salvation you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our trials reveal to us the genuineness of our faith and are ultimately for the glory of God. God knows what is in our hearts. Likewise, he wants us to know what is in our heart. In 2 Chronicles 32, 31, God left Hezekiah to himself in order to test him that Hezekiah would know what was in his own heart. When our faith is proven to be genuine, the Lord Jesus is glorified. Peter goes on to describe the essence of our faith in verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we have not seen him, we love him, we believe in him, we rejoice in him. Amen. When we believe and surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to live by faith in him. By faith, we no longer live for this world, but we live for him alone. Faith is a gift of grace from God. We receive this gift of faith by hearing the word of faith, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10, verses 8 through 11, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. To walk by faith is to love, believe, and rejoice in the one whom we have not seen. The one who we see with the eye of faith. The one who is revealed to us in the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This faith stands on the foundation of the promises of God found in the word of God. In Matthew 14, we are familiar with the story of Jesus walking on the water to his disciples in the storm. We pick up the story in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter stepped out of the boat by faith and walked on the water to Jesus. Even though he was standing with Jesus, his sight overruled his faith. His focus changed from Jesus to the storm. He doubted, his faith wavered, and he began to sink. Peter quickly turned back to the one who could rescue him. Praise the Lord that he is faithful to rescue us and lift us up in our times of wavering faith. Can you relate to the Apostle Peter? I can. I felt my own faith was strong until it was crushed under the weight. Of this recent trial. Many times the storm took my attention off of the one who would rescue us. I had no peace or comfort when my focus was not on the Lord Jesus. God's gift of faith is perfect. We are imperfect. God's gift of faith is strong. We are weak. The shield of faith that God gives us is indestructible. The question is, can we wield it? The strongest shield will only protect us as long as we have the strength to wield it. Praise the Lord, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. The test that a trial brings is not to see whether we are perfect in our faith. The test is, will we by faith patiently endure and continue turning back to the Lord Jesus when we are weak, when we stumble, when we fall, will we get back up and put our eyes on him? Will we persevere in him? I'm kind of picking on Peter this morning, sorry. Peter was part of Jesus' inner circle along with James and John. Yet at times he wavered in his faith. In Matthew 14, we saw in the storm, he steps out in faith and then loses sight of Jesus. In Matthew 16, Jesus says he will build his church on solid faith like the faith that Peter proclaimed. Yet Peter turns right around and rebukes Jesus for his words regarding his death. In Matthew 26, Peter proclaims to Jesus that he will even die with him. Yet he goes on to deny Jesus three times. This denial broke Peter and he wept. Jesus reveals to Peter the condition of his heart in John 21, 15 through 17. After his resurrection, Jesus questions Peter. He asks him, "Do you love me?" Peter's response was, "You know that I love you." The true depth of this conversation does not reveal itself until we understand the meaning of the Greek words translated love. The first two times Jesus questioned Peter, he used the verb form of the Greek word for agape love. This is the highest form of love. This is sacrificial love Jesus is asking for. Peter's response all three times was with the Greek word phileo. This is a lesser love than Jesus was asking for. This was the love or affection of a friend. After his denial, Jesus' guilt would not allow him to say that he loved Jesus with the highest love, with sacrificial love. Jesus then meets Peter where he is at. The final time Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" he uses the same word for a lesser love that Peter used. This grieved Peter. I believe that Peter had agape love for Jesus, but his guilt over denying him caused him to doubt. He listened to the whisper of the devil. Even so, Peter's faith never failed. Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart. Now he wanted Peter to know what was in his heart. Jesus knew he had to strengthen Peter for the work he would be called to after his death. Jesus had earlier prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. In Luke 22, 31 and 32, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter went on to fulfill his ministry as the apostle to the Jews. Paul refers to Peter along with James and John as pillars in the church at Jerusalem. No matter how many times we stumble or waver in our faith, if we keep turning to Jesus, he is faithful to continue to lift us up and give us strength to keep going. He sees in us what we often cannot see in ourselves. Do not listen to the whisper of the devil. We must keep our attention on Jesus. He still has work for us to do. How is your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Do you love him more than anything else? Is he getting the best of our time, or is he getting what's left over? We have all, at one time or another, had our faith tested through various trials. Peter tells us not to be surprised at the trials that come to test us. Under the weight of our trials, we can be tempted to sin against God. In our moments of distress, overwhelming emotion, or failure to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, when we walk by faith, we walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in obedience to the Word of God, following the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we walk by sight, we walk in the flesh. We walk as the world walks in disobedience to the Word of God. This is the battle between the Spirit and the flesh that Peter exhorts the Galatians about in Galatians 5:16. "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When our trial becomes too heavy and we are so overwhelmed by our circumstance and emotion, we can take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus. God tempts no one, but we are tempted by our own desires. When we lean into our desire, we stop walking in the Spirit and we step out in the flesh. Our desire then gives birth to sin. To walk by faith is to walk in the Spirit, not losing sight of the one who can sustain us and will deliver us from our trial. Jesus says that in this world we will have tribulation. As trials and troubles inevitably come, we must continually go to the Word of God and hold on to the promises of God. During this long trial, Wendy and I held on to the promises of God. Psalm 23 assures us that the Lord is our shepherd, we will not want. Even if we walk, through the valley of the shadow of death, we should not fear, for he is with us. Isaiah 43:2 assures us that God would walk with us and keep us from being overwhelmed in our trials. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us that he will provide a way out so that we can endure. Our trial was unlike the past. I have never felt more helpless than to sit by Wendy's side as she suffered the most excruciating pain day after day. To sit and hold her hand as she slowly died a little bit each day. All we could do was hold on to the Lord Jesus with all our strength and pray. Every day we prayed for relief from the suffering. But God was silent. Our friends shared with us that they did not understand why this had to continue going on and on. Why the Lord was not delivering Wendy from such suffering. In this, I too was wondering why God was not acting. However, if I learned anything from the book of Job, I learned not to question God's actions. Job endured unimaginable suffering, and he was faithful to God. Even his wife and his friends added to his suffering. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends told him he was self-righteous. He needed to stop lying, confess his sins, and repent. By faith in God, he endured his trial alone. Job was unaware of the discussion between God and the devil. He was unaware of the spiritual battle that was taking place. Yet as his trial went on and on in his frustration, he asked God why. God never answered Job's question, but he chastised him for asking it. In the end, God brought Job to an accurate understanding of who he was and who Job was. Job repented and God blessed him for his faithfulness. If by faith we can trust God with our eternal life, can we not by faith trust him with our earthly life? Let us follow the example of Jesus as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane regarding his crucifixion. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In the midst of our trial, we kept looking for the way out, looking for the cup to pass from us. As the trial kept going on and on, it became more difficult for me to not seek my will and keep waiting for his will. The weight of our trial came to a climax at 3 weeks as Wendy had to be put on a ventilator during one of the procedures. When I came back to the room after the procedure, I was horrified at what I saw. She had just woken up. She was gagging and choking on the ventilator tube. I was unaware that it is standard practice to tie down the patient's hands so they will not pull out the tube. Both her hands were tied down. She was helpless, and my heart broke. As I grabbed her hands and leaned over the bed, she looked me in the eyes and said, "I cannot do this anymore." This time I said, "Okay." This was the third time in the first 3 weeks that she said she could not go on. Our faith had been strong up till this point. I kept encouraging her that the Lord would make a way out. I could feel the weight of the spiritual battle crushing us. I can only describe this feeling as a heavy darkness that was only spiritually discernible. An invisible weight upon us that was trying to break our grip on the Lord. In that moment, I feared that she had finally given up, that her strength was gone and we were losing her. My faith was being crushed and I was emotionally broken. How much longer would she have to suffer before God would act? My prayer now changed. I now asked the Lord if he was going to take her, that he take her now, because I could no longer bear to watch her suffer. And still God was silent. I was becoming anxious, unable to eat. I could only sleep an hour or two every night. My ability to think rationally was becoming hindered from the emotional distress and lack of sleep. My focus was on our circumstance and not on the Lord. Consequently, I found myself going to the doctor and the pharmacy for their remedies, which were ineffective. I needed to stop walking in the flesh and walk in the spirit. I needed to walk by faith. I could not do this apart from the Lord bringing my attention back onto him. I stopped pursuing my way out. I went back to the Lord in prayer every sleepless night and slowly received relief from my anxiety. I began to eat again, to sleep again. The Lord had given me peace and rest as he took my eyes off our circumstance and turned them back to him. These trials bring a spiritual battle that we cannot win in the flesh. In the flesh, our circumstance becomes our focus and we become vulnerable to the assault of the devil as he tempts us to sin. We are to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He provides us with his armor that we might stand against the schemes of the devil. We are to follow the example of the Lord Jesus. In his temptation, Jesus stood on the promises of God to defeat the schemes of the devil. He wielded the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Three times the devil tempted him, and three times Jesus responded, "It is written," as he proclaimed the word of God to defeat Satan. Wendy's brothers and sisters came to see her in the hospital to encourage her to keep fighting. I called our son and daughter to come from across the country, picked them up late at the airport, and we went back to the hospital the next morning. I was amazed at what I saw when I walked into Wendy's room. It was as if she had a glow about her and the darkness was gone. She was quietly laying in her bed, no longer tied down. She turned with a smile and her face lit up as she saw Brandon and Renee. walk into the room. She had continued fighting, and the Lord helped her overcome this spiritual battle. I believe the Lord filled her up and his light cast out the darkness. This was an answer to our prayers and revived our hope and our joy. God may have been silent to our prayers for relief from the suffering, but he was very clearly working in his timing, not ours. We again turn to his promise that his grace would be sufficient to sustain us. The Apostle Paul tells us of his thorn in the flesh. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. As I look back, I see the Lord was answering our prayers in his silence. He was strengthening Wendy. We wanted out of our trial now, but he was not done with us yet. His grace would be sufficient for us to endure. We knew that he would make a way out for us, and we kept believing in his promises. Days went by, then weeks, then months. Our faith was being shaken to its foundation. But God is faithful, and his grace is sufficient to sustain us each day. Then one morning, he showed me something I had missed. He convicted my faith was not as strong as I thought. We had been holding on to the promise of 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. But I had missed the warning in the preceding verse. Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest you fall. I had always felt that our faith was strong in the tests and trials that we had been through. However, my faith was not nearly as strong and solid as I thought. As this trial went on and on, my faith was being crushed under the weight of helplessness and the spiritual battle that was being waged against us. Jesus tells us, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day in its own trouble." Again, we went to the Word of God for his promise. We have all sung this psalm together on many occasions. Psalm 118:24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This was the turning point for us as we began to live for and rejoice in the day the Lord had made for us. We look to the Lord for provision for the day, no longer looking for the way out, but for the strength and endurance to get through each day. Our focus shifted from our trial back onto him and the power of his grace each day. God's grace was sufficient when we rested in him. It was sufficient when we stopped pursuing our way out and instead lived for the day that he had made for us. When we are going through trials and our faith is being tested, the Lord will be with us and give us what we need to persevere. We must walk by faith, not losing sight of him. We will not do this perfectly, but he is faithful to lift us up just as he lifted Peter up in the storm. We must walk in the Spirit, not allowing our flesh to get the better of us. Again, we will not do this perfectly. When we step out in the flesh, we must fight against those fleshly desires, turn our eyes to Jesus, and walk in the Spirit. In the flesh, we can become frustrated, moving out ahead of God in our will instead of waiting for His will. We must continually seek strength through prayer for His will, not ours, as Jesus did. When in faith we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we stand on God's promises, we endure in His strength, we rest in His peace, we are covered in His grace, and we follow the leading of His Spirit, we can persevere to the end, and He is glorified. Let's go back to God's word again for a final word of hope from the prophet Jeremiah in his distress over God's judgment of Judah. This is Lamentations 3, 21 through 25. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. If you are with us this morning and you are struggling in the life the world offers, you do not have to face the world full of tribulation and trial on your own. You can know the Lord Jesus Christ and begin your new life in Christ today. This new life is not free from trials, but in Christ we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus this morning, please ask anyone here. We will help you find answers to your questions. Let me pray for us, and then we'll join in communion. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to just worship You, O Lord, for You are faithful, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, Lord. You never change. From eternity past to eternity future, You alone are God, holy, righteous, faithful, patient with us, Lord, pouring out Your grace into our lives each and every day. We are grateful, Lord, for Your work in our lives. We are grateful for the testing of our faith, that You show us what our heart is made of, Lord. We pray for Your strength, Lord. We pray that You would give us help in the midst of our trials. And we just love You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the hope that we have in You alone. In Jesus' name, amen.